So here we are, August in Terre Haute with Mayor Duke Bennett. Again, thank you very much for being with us today. I always like to start just because the political nature of Indiana and everything going on outside and throughout the state. Last time we talked, Mike Pence has officially been announced as the running mate with Donald Trump. The GOP now has a new candidate for governor. A lot has happened this past month. In your terms, how is all this breaking down as the Republican mayor of Terre Haute?
It's crazy. And I know I said that last month when we talked about this, but what a totally out of the normal kind of an election cycle. I mean, there's always a few surprises, but this is kind of like every step you take, then there's a new step that you have to take that you didn't think you would. And who would have ever thought that Mike Pence would end up being the VP candidate and Eric Holcomb would end up being in the governor's position to run? I mean, he just wasn't in the lieutenant governor's position very long. And so what a crazy, wacky, messed up year. I guess my gut tells me, though, that we've got a lot of good Republicans serving in the state. And so really, when you look at some, you know, Susan Brooks and Todd Rokita both wanting to run for governor too, both good people and would have been great governors. It's just kind of neat to see that there is kind of a deep bench. I know people use that term, but it's good to see that there's a lot of good serving Republicans across the state, because at the end of the day, it's not about the R and the D, it's about how you serve the people. And it's just great to see good people involved in government.
And I know it's way early. I think a lot of us still have to learn more about Eric Holcomb, but it seems like the early readings is he has the same type of background as Governor Pence. Is that a strategy, do you think, that the Republicans are using in their choice with
Maybe.
Holcomb?
You know, and I think what's unique here is I've known Eric Holcomb for a long time. When he was helping Congressman Hostetler, when I first got involved with politics and many, many years ago, and he was working with his campaign and all that, and that tells you it's been a while ago. I think Eric is really more like Mitch Daniels, in my opinion. I think he seems to be more of a kind of a structured process kind of guy, get things done. Yes, I think there's a lot of influences of Mike Pence, but I just think he's his own man in a way that reminds me a little bit more in ways of doing things as more a little bit more of a Mitch Daniels than a Mike Pence. But that's just my kind of take on it.
Back here in Terre Haute, your only public pool opened, closed, but I hear it's back open again.
Yeah, it was closed for a few days. It was open. We had a little issue with the pump. We reworked all of the plumbing and all of the filtering system, and we just did a tremendous amount of work to the pool. Had a little bit of an electrical issue last week, and it caused the pump to continue to shut down. It was an amperage thing, and we brought in some very good local company to work on that. And it took a few days to work the bugs out of that. And then, of course, you got a couple of days where you have to wait for the test results of the pool water to come back and for the health department to do their thing. So it ended up being closed for a week that we just hadn't planned on, obviously, since we had just opened it recently. But it's up and running, doing great. We had a good turnout over the weekend. We're going to be open on the weekends now until Labor Day, which we don't normally do. So we can make sure we keep working the bugs out of it and have it open and available. Still hot weather, so hopefully people come and enjoy the pool on Saturdays and Sundays till Labor Day.
Well, I really wanted to get into, which I feel is like the big topic here in Terre Haute, is that stormwater fee that was being proposed, another revenue source to help fill the budget gap. But it's been a few weeks now, but there was a council meeting where it kind of hit a roadblock and now being pushed off till postponed till September. What happened?
Well, really, I think it's a more complicated thing, and I think I mentioned this last month, than what the trash fee was. That was pretty straightforward. Here's a fee. Here's what we're doing with it. Here's how it works. When we got into the stormwater fee, you know, there's a lot of varieties, a lot of different ways you can do it. The basis of it's still the same, but you can tweak the system any way you want. There are over 90 communities in Indiana that are doing this, some for over 20 years. So I've been accused of creating this thing like I just dreamed it up for another revenue source. That's simply not true. So we spent about 6 months working on it until we introduced it to the council. They got a little bit of pushback. I think there's three different areas of pushback. One was from not-for-profits and churches specifically. Another was for people, the fact that we take a pilot, a payment in lieu of taxes, out of the wastewater treatment plan. I'll address each one of these here in a second. And then the third piece just kind of being, what are the other options? And so people, the council, really weren't ready to make a decision because they were getting a lot of questions from people about what, this is such a big thing, we're not ready to deal with it. And I understood that, I expected it, I really did. They moved it back to September, so here in a few weeks, we'll revisit it again. We're looking at some things to maybe tweak it a little bit to address some of the concerns, but at the end of the day, we have to have a new revenue source. And so we either have to do a sewer rate increase or we have to do a stormwater fee. Now we can reduce the amounts of those a little bit, but we can't just say option C is nothing. We have to fund into the future. And so there's been a couple of bad pieces of information that continue to float around. First of all, it's not a tax. Absolutely not. It's a user fee. We're a utility. And by state law and by everybody else, it is a fee, not a tax. Nobody's ever said it was just going to be implemented for a short period of time. We've always been out front with that this will pay for stormwater projects for the next 100 years. Whether it gets raised or not in the future, I don't know, but we don't need to do anything else besides this to move us along with our plan. Another piece of information just has to do with people saying that we're taking the money and we're going to use it for our general fund, which is 100% false. All of our money is segregated, separate funds, separate banks, what has related to the wastewater and now with the stormwater, all those things are separated from the rest of that. And so it's just people running around saying things that cause the council to pause and say, you know, we have more questions, we've got some ideas we may want to present, so let's delay it. Long answer, but that's kind of how we got to where we are today.
But wasn't part of this fee is to help relieve those some of the money that would have gone to from the general fund?
Well, we have money that what comes out of the general fund is this pilot fee, and we take $2.7 million out, and that's all funded. It has nothing to do with this new fee. But the new fee will help solidify to make sure we don't have to take that away. We want to actually increase it a little bit. We could actually increase it up to about $6 million, but that's not what we're looking for. We think it's somewhere around $5 right now and probably end up back around $3 in a couple of years once we get some other things in place. And so all it does is help solidify the fact that we don't have to pull that out of the budget to fund the stormwater part and then not have any revenue for the general fund that we've been dependent on for 5 years now. We've been pulling that money out for 5 years. So it's already been there, it's already funded, it's already built into the budget, it's already approved by the state.
Churches, nonprofits, not happy, saying it's gonna eat into their budget, but how much are we really talking about?
Well, in most churches, these smaller, you know, community neighborhood churches, you're talking about $6 or $8 a month. Some of the bigger mega churches will have it'll be hundreds of dollars a month, but it's based on how much you contribute to the problem. And so modeled after Muncie and Indianapolis, ours is primarily looking at those two communities. And state law does not allow you to exclude not-for-profits. You can't treat them differently than you can anybody else. You can create different mechanisms within that, but everybody has to pay, and everybody has to pay something that's defendable in court.
There was something new that popped up too at that last meeting about an agreement with the Sanitary District, the Indiana Finance Authority, that says on September 1st that you have to increase rates at 15%, and that seemed to come to a surprise to everybody.
Well, it shouldn't have been a surprise, because when Umbaugh & Associates came in January and met with the council, they told us we needed to do a 15% rate increase. It was all tied to this. Last October, we had, in August, the discussion started, but then by October, things were finalized where they said, in order for you to borrow more money to do the next phase of your long-term control plan, you have to have additional revenue. You do not have enough revenue to pay all your old debt and to pay on the plan that you are mandated by the feds to do. And so they do this anywhere. They visited multiple communities and tell them the same thing. In our case, we made an agreement with them that said, we will take it to the council to get this done. It should have been worded a little bit differently as we look at it in hindsight. It should have said the administration will take it to the council by September 1st, not the council approve it by September 1st. So that's whatever. That was between the lawyers, between the Indiana Finance Authority and the administration. We probably should have worded it a little bit differently. But when September 1st comes, it's not going to be approved and the world's not going to fall apart. There's no penalty to us. We'll need to renegotiate a new agreement. but real simple to do, and they're on board with us. They want to loan us the money. So all that, it's not a financial issue. It's nothing like that. It's just the financial part of it is we don't have enough revenue to go to phase 2 through 5 of our long-term control plan.
So then that kind of brings us to where are we now? What's next? And
well, we're going to bring some a few ideas. We're meeting with some council members now, sanitary board members, to answer the questions they specifically have. And then we'll probably bring some modifications or some ideas to the table, and we'll see in that first meeting in September what else the council has provided us in feedback, and see if what we need to do to tweak it to get it passed. We have to do it. Once again, there's not an option of doing nothing.
Another city council agenda item was the mobile food vendor ordinance that did pass. And usually, from what I remember this before in other cities, it's usually the brick and mortar restaurants that may kind of look at this and oppose, just thinking, I don't know if I want a competition directly right outside of my restaurant. Did that come up here too?
No, it didn't. Not really. I mean, you know, I've heard that too. Some communities, they really got a lot of pushback because they say, you know, we're paying property taxes on this building and they don't have to pay, you know, property taxes on their mobile food truck or trailer, whatever it might be. But here's the thing to think about. Our goal was to, right now you could have a food truck in the city, but you had to park it on private property. You couldn't have it in the public right of way. You could go to a city park with a permit from the Parks Department, or you could put it on private property somewhere, but you couldn't have it parked on the street for festivals and things like that unless it was shut down. I mean, you know, you had to go through a lot of different hoops. You couldn't just have a business that way. And so a lot of communities, you know, have been ahead of us a little bit to say, we encourage that. We want to create that quality of life, that quality of place where that's another option for people to be able to have a little fun, sit down and eat at a picnic table, maybe grab a bite to lunch. And I was out in Washington, D.C. last year, and you know, the food vendors come to this one park and they just ring the place, you know, and I know in Indianapolis, it's like that too. And I thought, you know, that's really neat. And so there was some ISU students that wanted to start a business, and that's kind of what really prompted it. The timing of it, they wanted to get going this fall. And we've been talking about something, but just really hadn't come to an agreement of what it ought to be. So last council meeting, that was passed. We now have this new ordinance. Go to the Board of Public Works, get a permit. You're good to go, and you can work within the right-of-way in the city. So we're looking forward to some things. We're going to have actually an event here at City Hall in September. There's going to be some other events scattered around town where people are really trying to create something new. And I'm really looking forward to having food trucks and vendors in places where we wouldn't normally have them.
And it's also budget. It's always budget time, but you're getting closer and closer to trying to finalize the budget. How's that coming?
Yeah, we're doing pretty well on getting the budget ready to submit to the council. I was hoping to have it done a little sooner, but there's some new rules, the State Board of Accounts and DLGF this year. And so we're still proceeding along to make sure we stay in compliance with everything, all the reporting and things that we get back from them. So we're just about done with the first draft of the budget. Still got some revenue things we have to work out, but we'll get that to the council sometime this month. It won't be introduced until the September meeting, and then we'll have our official meetings in September, but they'll get a good look at it yet this month, a couple weeks ahead of time.
You know, a couple months ago, we talked about or learned about a government efficiency panel that some community members came together. Have they met? Have they been in touch?
Yep. And I'm on that committee. There's an 8-person oversight committee, and then there'll be some subcommittees. Right now, we've hired a consultant to help guide the process, people who've done this for many, many years. And, you know, Fort Wayne and Indianapolis are two great examples where they've gone through this kind of a process. And so we hired a firm to help us kind of facilitate it. They are just beginning the process of interviewing people in the community, department heads, office holders, to begin to come up with a master list of things we want to look at, challenges we have, things that work really well. And then the process will really kick off in September, where we begin to have a lot of digging deeper on some of these things and having some public meetings. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's kind of started out uniquely. Kind of people were questioning the city cutting their budget enough is really where it started. But since that time, it's evolved into how do we make Terre Haute competitive across the globe? We want Terre Haute to be as efficient as we can, Terre Haute and Vigo County and all of our government agencies here. But we want to make sure we're using the taxpayers' dollars as wisely as we can, so what money we have to invest, we want to invest in infrastructure and other things that improve that quality of life. So I think it's really got a lot of potential. It'll probably have some bumps in the road as we move through some topics. They'll be more political than others, but I really think there's a great opportunity here.
I also wanted to bring up, too, I see in other cities how they have to handle the homeless population as time goes on. Mm-hmm. See that more in Bloomington, and now I see it came up here in Terre Haute.
Yeah, we've had a little, it goes through a cycle, and right now we've got about three or four people who have been camping out at Gilbert Park, kind of one of our central parks right on Wabash Avenue. And they are folks that really are kind of, they're down and out more than maybe what even some people who are temporarily homeless. There's some mental health issues, potentially some addiction issues, and a lot of them have been kicked out of existing. You know, we've got two different homeless shelters here, and they've been kicked out of those. It's been kind of a situation where they just don't really want specific help. And so we're trying to help them, we're working with them. But what kind of happened over the last few months is some people from the neighborhood began to congregate there along with the homeless people. And so it wasn't the homeless folks that were giving us the biggest amount of trouble. It was people who were just kind of hanging out at the park. And so when we had some police activity there, we've had to make some arrests and clean up trash and things like that. Well, we decided to remove the park benches or the picnic tables from the two shelters we have there. We've done this in other parks before. We've had some people set them on fire, use them to climb up on the roof, things like that. And we don't have a regular use of those two shelters. We don't have a lot of renters. And so what we decided to do was pull them for a while so we wouldn't have 20 people sitting on picnic tables all day, drinking and doing things they're not supposed to be doing. Our crime rate has dropped dramatically since we did that a week ago Friday. I mean, we've had two or three police calls versus we had 21 in a few week period there. So that has helped dramatically. People aren't hanging out there like they were. Now, we still got a few homeless people. So we're working with them, a couple local groups, Hamilton Center, local mental health center. We're trying to find a place to get them plugged in before winter comes and so they won't sleep in the park. We've not ran them out. We've allowed them continue to stay there, but we just want to be helpful and help them transition into some better temporary housing than laying underneath a shelter, you know, at Gilbert Park.
Well, and now we'll see you hopefully next month in September when school's in full swing, but it's just starting here in Terre Haute. I know public schools.
Yeah, public school started today.
Started, and of course the students will be coming back. Any message for students and new people as they, should they be on the lookout for anything in town as the move-in and all that good stuff starts?
It's always that move-in weekend, especially at ISU when you're bringing 15,000 students into town, is always pretty crazy. But Rose Hallman, St. Mary of the Woods College, and then, of course, school will be starting at Harrison College and Ivy Tech, too. You know, we're blessed with five colleges and universities, so you not only got our great K through 12, but these other secondary education opportunities. And, you know, it's great because it brings all that energy, all that newness, and people are excited. And I don't think they need to look out for anything particular other than it's going to be really busy for the next few weekends as people come to town and things kick off. It's an exciting time. I kind of like it. You know, it's nice when they go away because it gets quiet for a bit, but then you miss it, you know, and now it's time for all that excitement. And, you know, you'll see a lot of businesses begin to do some things they don't do during the summer months. And just the buzz and the activity is so exciting.